Good morning and welcome to worship here at West End. We're so glad to have each of you here this morning. Good morning again, and welcome to worship here at West End. Again, we're so glad to have you here. I have a few announcements for us, some upcoming events. But today is the last day for the mission market in Reed Hall. There's so many good smelling and tasting and beautiful things to purchase for Christmas. So if you'll join us after the service in Reed Hall, you can find a gift for someone that you love. Parking for the Christmas Eve services and in the future, we have extra parking in the Caterpillar garage that's directly next to us. And you can enter from West End and then come back and walk around to enter the building from West End to get your car, just in case you can't find parking or you want to create a space for someone that might be visiting. We have two Christmas Eve services coming up this week. There's one at 4 p.m. That's our family Christmas Eve service. Any type of family is welcome to come to that one. And then we have our more traditional Christmas Eve service, bringing in Christmas. Starts at 10:30, and that will have communion with it. We will have one service on Sunday, December the 27th. That service will be the 11 o'clock service, and there won't be any Sunday school. So just come and join us for that time to celebrate right after Christmas. We will have a New Year's Eve service, a watch night service. It'll be in the tradition of Taizé, which comes from France. It's very contemplative. We'll have an opportunity to walk the labyrinth. We have a large cloth labyrinth where you'll be able to walk and experience a time of prayer to bring in the new year. It'll be on our fourth story in the theater, so please join us for that. And on January the 6th in the new year, we will have an Epiphany celebration. It'll be a pilgrimage party Epiphany potluck. Yes, lots of peas. You can bring your potluck item as your gift and celebrate the Magi coming to visit baby Jesus with us. And we will kick off our 2016 focus on pilgrimage. So come and learn about that. Every single week, Michael asks us to find a new face and introduce ourselves to one another. I hope that you'll still do that. But I also hope that you will find a face. Maybe they came with you, that has cared for you during a time of darkness, and that you will thank them for being with you and near you. Let us join in worship together.
Thank you. Mighty One has done great things for us.
Holy is God's name.
God has lifted up the lowly.
And filled the hungry with good things.
Let us proclaim the goodness of our God.
Let us rejoice in God our Savior.
We light this fourth candle of our Advent wreath as a sign of hope for the coming of Christ into our world. Hear these words from the prophet Micah. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, for you are one of the little clans of Judah. From you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore, he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall live secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace.
Even as we rejoice in God, we recognize the ways in which we have turned away and have broken God's heart. Therefore, let us confess our sins together. Eternal God, you have given us so much, and we have failed to be faithful. You give us mystery, and we deny its power. You give us prophecy, and we refuse its calling. You give us wisdom, and we behave foolishly. You shower us with blessings, and we sell them for the sake of our own vain desires. Forgive us, God. Help us to do what is right, and say what is true, and love as passionately as you love. Give us the mind of Christ, so that we might bring peace to this world. We pray in Jesus' name. Hear the good news. God's mercy extends from generation to generation. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray together the Advent prayer for illumination. Holy God, help us to give voice to the wonderful news. You yourself are coming to dwell among us. Quicken our imaginations to find new and creative ways to proclaim Christ's coming. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Luke. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." The word of God for the people of God.
Good morning. If anybody else wants to come, oh, we got a whole gang. Good. Welcome. Yeah, come on, sit down. Well, I saw some of your faces at the Advent wreath making workshop. It was at the beginning of Advent, so that we would have, perfect, we would have the candles to help us know when Christmas would come. So I'm going to tell you the story about how the Advent wreath began. There was a pastor, and he lived in Germany, which is across the ocean, and he had an orphanage. He started an orphanage, and all of the children would ask him every single day, kind of like when you're in the car and you say, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet?" Every day during December, they would ask, "Is Christmas here yet? Is Christmas here yet?" And so he said, "No, no, it's not here yet." So he made this wheel. He took a cartwheel, not the cartwheel that you do in the grass, but a wheel that comes from a cart. It has the spokes. Maybe you've seen it before. And he put that down, and he put candles all around the different spokes, each for the days of December as it approached Christmas Day. And what he did was he lit a candle every single day that the children would ask, "Are we there yet? Is it Christmas yet?" He'd say, "Not yet." And he could show them how many candles were left before Christmas came. And for all of the Sundays of Advent, before Christmas, he had a big white candle that he put there. So there's four. And today we only have four. So we don't have the whole entire month of December. We just have those four. And we light them on Sunday and tell the story about Christmas and its coming. So that's the story of the Advent wreath. If you'll pray with me. Lord, thank you for this time that we have to be together. Thank you for times of waiting, even though it's sometimes really hard to wait for things that we want. Thank you that we can be here together as friends. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Thanks for coming down. If I ever am elected as a powerful politician in Nashville, one of the first things that I will do is to end daylight savings time or continue daylight savings time, whatever it means, to where I get to keep more light later in the evening, because I cannot stand driving home in the dark. I get home knowing that I have to go to a meeting or a gathering, and I'm like, "Oh, it's so late. I can't leave my house." And I look at my watch and it's 5:30. And so I have to go back out into the darkness. Darkness can be overwhelming and sometimes exhausting. We are in a season of darkness. The season of Advent is a time of darkness where we wait in the unknown, in the anticipation for the coming of the light of the world. Traditionally, the church has not been so keen on darkness. Traditionally, in our scriptures and even in sermons, we talk about darkness as being sin, the evil, the spiritual blindness, or even death. And everyone knows that they have to stay away from the dark side. Last year, around this time, though, I was learning to befriend the darkness, especially during Advent when we try to walk and live in this dark time. And Barbara Brown Taylor's book, Learning to Walk in the Dark, helped me a little on this journey. She talks about being part of churches and communities that have a full solar spirituality. And she says that that too is exhausting when you try to absorb and reflect the sunny side of faith 24/7. She writes, "If you've ever belonged to such a spiritual community with the solar spirituality, you realize that trouble comes when darkness might fall on your life, which can happen in a number of unsurprising ways. You lose your job, your marriage falls apart, your child acts out into some attention-getting way, you pray hard for something that does not happen. The list goes on and on." She says that there are days when she wishes she could hold this full solar spirituality, but that really her faith looks more like lunar spirituality. She reflects the sun as it waxes and wanes through the seasons and the times of her life. So, we are in this Advent season of darkness, waiting in anticipation, unsure maybe of something that's coming in our lives, in a culture that's filled with fear, fear of the other, fear of anything that seems different. Our two main biblical characters this morning, Elizabeth and Mary, understood what it was like to live in a culture of fear. They were Jewish during the Roman Empire. And as a Jew in the Roman Empire, you usually were not considered a Roman citizen. And Roman citizens were kind of at the top of the food chain, and then you had freeborn people, and then you had freed people, and then you had slaves. But it's a complicated sort of hierarchy because based on your wealth and your gender and lots of other things in society, you would have a different status. Eva D'Ambra writes in her book about first century Roman women that every aspect of their world reinforced a social system based on inequality and elitism. She explains that women's roles and status are more complex than tradition presents it. While they had limitations in society, women had influence according to their age, socioeconomic status, and honorable character. So Elizabeth, in this story, would have had the higher status. She was older and from a priestly lineage. She was an honorable woman of character, whereas Mary was unwed and young. So when Mary runs through the Judean hillside to meet her kinswoman, Elizabeth, the story could have gone much differently. Elizabeth could have, upon her greeting, scolded her. How could you get pregnant? And confirmed how horrified Mary should be. And then that awkward silence. How could you let this happen? What were you thinking? Or blaming another person. Who is this guy? We're going to go kick his butt. She doesn't show sympathy to Mary. Oh, bless your heart. Or, I feel so sorry for you. She shows empathy. She says, I get it. I understand. Me too. When it's terribly difficult to believe that this blessing could happen to you, I believe it did, and I'm honored to be with you. This is how she responds. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. Elizabeth honors Mary's story. She blesses her and believes with her. Elizabeth affirms Mary's calling instead of explaining it away. And most of all, Elizabeth doesn't need to one-up Mary. She doesn't say, that's nothing. Listen to what happened to me in my age. Elizabeth is already teaching John what it's like to prepare the way for another. Many times our friendships can be transactional. We work so hard to win the approval of people that will never see us. And we share our deepest struggles and successes, and often there's that awkward silence. This is not the case for Mary and Elizabeth. When Elizabeth responds to Mary in an open and affirming way, she creates space for Mary's light to shine. Mary continues to be vulnerable, and she bursts into song. Look what the Lord has done for me! All of the verbs in the Magnificat are talking about the past tense. They're past tense verbs. She believes so much that God is bringing about the coming kingdom that she speaks and sings about it. In the past, God has done great things. She truly holds the light of the world inside of her. Elizabeth paves the way in darkness for Mary to shine. There's a story in the Talmud about Rabbi Jose. The Talmud is basically a series of writings and interpretations on the Hebrew scriptures. That's what we call the Old Testament. And in this story of Rabbi Jose, he's studying and studying, but he still can't figure out this particular passage in Deuteronomy. It's Deuteronomy 28, and it says, "And you shall grope at noonday as a blind man gropes in pitch black darkness." Why, Rabbi Jose wondered, would a blind man grope in darkness? What difference does it matter if it's light or day? While he was musing on the problem one day in the dark of night, as the story goes, he comes across a blind man carrying a torch. "Why," Rabbi Jose asked the man, "do you carry a torch? With or without it, you cannot see a thing." "True enough," said the man who was blind, "but as long as I carry this torch, other people can see me." Maybe part of learning to walk in the dark is holding your torch, sharing your story, even if you still can't see the way. Maybe your torch will allow someone else to see. As I was thinking about this story driving home one day in the dark, I saw this beautiful house filled with Christmas lights. And I thought to myself, why do we put up Christmas lights? Everyone knows it's exhausting to untangle all of those lights and put them on your house. And plus, you're inside. You don't get to see the lights on your house. We put them up to shine a light for others, to be a little joy in the darkness. There are many ways to walk in the dark. You might be like Barbara Brown Taylor and feel like your light is that of the moon, reflecting and seasonal. You might be like the rabbi's friend, unable to see anything around you, but you are courageous to hold your torch in the darkness. You might be like Mary, a light growing inside of you, waiting for birth. And you might be like Elizabeth, preparing the way for another, celebrating the joys and crying in the struggles. I'll leave you with one more image, and it's that of the Advent wreath. There are many interpretations and actually lots of stories about where this came from, but today I choose to interpret the pink candle to be Mary, maybe one of the other purple candles to be Elizabeth, and then one of the other candles is you, and one of the other candles is someone who's been with you, celebrating you. I imagine that the wreath of the Advent is the church, all standing together, some of us waiting to be lit, all of us reflecting on the fact that Christ has truly entered the world, and us looking to the future for Christ to return. All of us standing together, together much more brighter than we could ever be by ourselves, reflecting the light of the world in the dark times. Thanks be to God. Amen. One of the ways we reflect the light is by sharing our story. Let us stand and turn to page 883 in your hymnal and confess the United Church of Canada's creed. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death.
West End United Methodist Church welcomes all who gather to worship with us today. If you're a guest among us, a special word of welcome is extended to you. Everyone is invited to join us for a time of fellowship in Reed Hall, which is just to your right, following our worship service. First-time guests who are worshiping with us are especially invited to join us as a congregation for coffee and fellowship there after the service. I invite you to make note of the gray card in your pew rack. One side of the card can be used to record any comments you may have for church staff or lay leadership. If you desire a call from one of the staff regarding your comment, please indicate that on the card and put your preferred contact information. On the other side of the card, you can indicate any prayer requests. The card can be placed in the offering plate as they are passed down the pew in just a little while. Please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the pew pad you find near the center aisle down the pew, if you've not already done so. As the pad is passed back down the pew, please take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone you may not know or anyone you already do know at the end of the service. Today, there are two roses on the table. Those are to celebrate two births. First of all, Carlisle Frances Smith, who was born on November 2nd to Kelly and Philip Smith. She is welcomed also by her big brother, Ellis Smith. And Madeline Jane Gamble was born December 7th to Jody and Eric Gamble. She is also welcomed by her big sister, Ella Gamble. And it is with deep sorrow that I announce to you that Mike Rittenauer, you may know him better as Mike the Contributor Guy, who has stood for years at our entrance to our parking lot, died on December 1st in a house fire in East Nashville. We had been missing him for a couple of weeks. We had tried to be in touch with him, and failing that, Andrew Krinks from the Contributor let us know on Thursday that Mike had died in that fire. He was a regular presence here and a blessing to all of us, and will be greatly, greatly missed. Now let us prepare our hearts and minds for God to speak to us as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. With all our hearts, we praise you, God of mystery and wonder. From the depths of our souls, we offer to you our gratitude for coming to us as one of us to save us from ourselves and all that would keep us from you. Lead us where you will by your love, and we will follow. We trust your love because we've seen it in Mary's Son, and pray that we might reflect that same loving light we have seen in Jesus, the one we call the Christ, who taught his disciples in ancient days to pray a prayer, and who calls us to pray that prayer together now, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. God has graciously given to us all that we have and all that we are. And as a people of faith, we are returning to God's service and for the benefit of others, a portion of those gifts we've been richly blessed with.
Thank you.